Welcome to Who Will Be King, your go-to for football analysis, courtesy of the Fans First Sports Network's NFC North Roundup Show. This week, the hosts, Pay from the Bear Claw Podcast, June and Foster's from the Lions, Bleachers to Speakers, and me, Dave, from Vikings First and Skull, all join forces. We'll be covering the pro days and the standout performances from the potential draftees like J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams. We'll also discuss recent league rule changes, from tackling to kickoff alterations, and their impact on game dynamics. We'll delve into team strategies, focusing on the Minnesota Vikings draft strategy and their two first-round draft picks. We'll also address the off-field issues, including the disturbing news surrounding Cam Sutton of the Detroit Lions. Our hosts bring a diverse perspective to these discussions, ensuring engaging dialogue. So whether you're a Bears fan, a Michigan alum, a Packers backer, a Vikings supporter, or a Lions enthusiast, this is for you. So sit back, grab a snack, and join us for this thrilling dive into NFC North football. Let's kick this off. Let the battles begin.
It's Wednesday, guys. As you all can see, I've got my pink on. It's Easter season. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Amen. Take him to church, bro.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go to church, man. He has risen, but unlike J.J. McCarthy. Unlike J.J. McCarthy's draft stock that has risen out of, I don't know where, risen like the Phoenix. In the last few weeks,
that was a heck of a transition. Like that was that was magnifique.
But like I said, J.J. McCarthy's pro day is just the icing on the cake, the cherry on top of how his stock has come a long way from the national championship game. I would have told you that is a game manager right there. He is a game manager through and through. Now, listen, he might be the second best quarterback in his draft. am I going too far?
He's in the top four. I'll grant you that. But second best, if John Harbaugh had his way, he'd be second best. He'd be first.
Hey, you're talking to a diehard Michigan fan. I strongly disagree.
Well, let's go with it. Let's go right there. I'm going to lead you right into that discussion. Okay. So we're talking about pro days. USC had theirs last week. LSU had theirs today. As a matter of fact, Michigan had theirs not too long ago, a couple of days ago too, right? So representing our Detroit Lions up in Detroit, big time Michigan fan, like you said, and Foster, You're not a Michigan fan. You're a Spartan. You're a Spartan guy, but you still you're repping the colors, the Honolulu blue. What's the word out of Ann Arbor? How was this pro day for Michigan? It was a lot of pros there, man. A lot of eyes, a lot of scouts. What's the word?
Go ahead, Joe.
I don't know why you're asking, Foster. He will not pay attention to anything like that. Until he gets to the league, he is not going to pay attention to anything a Wolverine does. Okay, let me break it down for you. He had a great day throwing. I think he had, out of all of his throws, maybe two incompletions. He showed his arm strength. He showed his accuracy. What the season didn't show because of the defense and because of the great running game was how good he can be. Now, the knock that I've always had on him is the decision-making, the processing. He's a gambler, and he every now and then he'll do a head-scratching play. But we knew the arm talent there. What he didn't display the whole offseason was his 40 time, and he runs about a 4.5 40 at worst. So the buzz is high. He had a phenomenal pro day. People are talking. I wouldn't say he's top four, but it improved his stock from where he once was before he threw on pro day up here.
I don't think it's so much the demonstration of how he threw, and he did throw great, and he did show signs of working on the flaw of the footwork, especially throwing left. That's been improved, but there was an article from Nick Baumgartner on The Athletic that looked into more of the advanced stats. And when you're looking at McCarthy ranked number one in EPA per drop back. EPA for drop back with play action and EPA for drop back with runs included. Now, McCarthy played on average, they said it's only like 57% of the game because Michigan would go out and stomp somebody, St. Mary's School of the Blind, and have a 50-point lead, and they'd pull them out.
And Washington in the championship.
Too. Yep. And
direct them, Joe. Go ahead.
But where McCarthy has really impressed people is on third down. And it's the third down tape, and Coach O'Connell for the Minnesota Vikings says his third down tape is just amazing.
Yeah.
Now, when it's third and long, long being defined as 7+ yards, he has been lethal. He's hit at a 73.1 completion rate, number one in the FBS, and that is just amazing, because if you're hitting it third and long, he's throwing past the sticks, unlike a former Spartan that was on the Vikings. It translates into wins, and he is a proven winner. And between those deep stats, because he didn't have the volume. Everybody agreed, didn't have the volume because Michigan was kicking butt on everybody and he was pulled out. But those deep stats shows he has the talent, plus he's just turned 21, can just now drink. Yeah. He's shown the leadership. His interviews at the Combine were revealing, and it's going to be interesting to see. The Minnesota Vikings are spending the next 3 days with the young man to get to know him better. He is definitely one of those dream scenarios for the Vikings, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that later.
Oh, yeah. You know these transitions well. Segways are your thing, Dave. You've got this down pat, because the thing I was going to come right behind with this is that I know that J.J. McCarthy news is music to Viking fans' ears. I just know it. And before we get into, you know, how you all want to maneuver around to get back, you know, to get into that conversation of a top four quarterback in this draft, let's give some space to the other pro days that I did mention a little earlier. USC had theirs last Wednesday. We can go from today. Caleb Williams, I don't know if you all paid attention to it. You know, pro days are kind of all the same. It's just, you know, a glorified warm-up, right? A lot of cameras, a lot of media attention, a lot of hype. Caleb Williams went out there and looked very, very, very relaxed, very comfortable, and just flicking the ball around, moving around, doing everything they said he can do. as a breeze. Did you all have any other like takeaway from it? Because from all intents and purposes, everybody said it was a successful pro day. He looked the part, except for Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. He's the only one that said, "Yeah, Caleb Schmaleb." What did you all think?
For me, his pro day, he showed what we all thought we knew. I mean, I thought from game tape that he didn't have to show me anything from a pro day. Like he can make all the throws, throwing on the run. He has the arm strength. He definitely has the accuracy. I was more impressed with his accuracy than anything. And his improvisation during game time is crazy, which that's a whole nother conversation of how that affair in the NFL. Hopefully he has a little bit more protection and doesn't have to do those plays so much next level. But, well, I don't hope that because I'm a Lion. I hope he does have troubles with this offensive line. But at the same time, he threw pretty good. He did exactly the throwing could only hurt him at this point. It couldn't help his stock at all. So,
yeah, but you got to pretty much if you didn't throw in the combine, you got to wait to the pro day. You've got to demonstrate something. Now, from what I gather, he's having we're seeing a lot more private meetings with teams.
Yeah.
And he's having one too. And he had one with the Chicago Bears. And Eberflus was just absolutely gushing about his leadership. And so I'm sure he's going to be a great fit. I see Pay is wearing pink in solidarity with his next new quarterback. That's going to be absolutely fine. How's he going to survive in Chicago? Well, we'll find out. Quarterbacks don't have very much luck there, and we'll see.
That all ends now. The Caleb Williams era has begun. I'm already calling it. The draft is a formality. Caleb era has started. The bum quarterback train has done. That train has been retired. We have got a baller. We've got a baller. And if he's going to wear pink, we're going to wear pink with him. Damn it. That's how we're going to roll. Gosh, no.
What about the painted nails? You doing the painted nails in solidarity, or is that where it stops?
No. That is, you can do it. You know, power to you, man. Just make sure those 40 touchdowns is on time.
That's not happening on old block or 63rd roster. No.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if it goes on that way.
No. Maybe not. More than likely not. It will not happen on old block or any other dumping grounds out south. But I can tell you this right now. If my man is as confident on the field as he is off the field, we got a winner. We got a winner. And I'm proud. I am ecstatic to say that.
All right. All right.
Pride, you might say.
Ooh. Hey, you quick. You quick, B. All right. So other things that's happened. Well, the news hasn't come out for the LSU Pro Day yet, but everything I've heard so far has been, like as I said earlier, Pro Days, right? You're not going to see much of anything that you can write home about. But Jaden Daniels looks every much the part. And
yeah,
he looks super athletic, super strong arm. Mm-hmm. He can make throws rolling out to either side of the pocket, as he's shown during this Heisman season, and he showed today at the Pro Day. It's going to be a lot of tough decisions in that top four of the draft. I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm. That's who I have ranked number one, Jaden Daniels.
Ooh, that's who you think the Bears go ahead and draft him?
I hope they don't draft him.
I hear a little reverse psychology from you. I don't know where you want the Bears. You think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback on the board? Don't want the Bears to draft him.
Correct. That's we have to see that two times a year. I want the lesser of the best.
You want the lesser of the best?
Yeah, for the Bears. So
you want the Bears to go get Caleb Williams. I got you. I,
I mean, I have Jaden number one, and I wouldn't be mad if you guys passed him up for Caleb. That's all I'm saying.
Passed him up.
Okay. I mean, if I'm thinking he's number one, yeah, passed him up. Yes. I'm not choking on my words. That's what it is.
Quentin in the remarks says, wait till the entire NFC North has to discuss getting beat by a zesty guy with painted fingernails. Hey.
Q, that's my co-host from the Bear Claw podcast. Shout out my man Q. Shout out my man Q. You let him know. We coming to take the whole not just the division, but the conference by storm. But the man's gonna wear pink while he's doing it.
Hey, let's not get it twisted. I think Caleb is the second best. I think those are the top two. And you don't go wrong with either one.
I'll say that. Yeah, you know, maybe you're probably right. You're probably right. I think both guys are physical specimens in both ways that they've shown already. The back-to-back Heisman winners. You can't go wrong either way.
Right.
However, don't overthink it. You know who the number one, presumptive number one guy. Yeah. Go ahead and get that guy.
For sure.
Let's go talk about the other news that's happened this week. Big things happens every year. Owners get together and they decide, how are we going to make this game better for us and more confusing for the players and more annoying for the fans? The NFL league meetings concluded yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So out of that, the two biggest things, one, hip tackles. Hip drop, hip tackles. Am I saying that right?
Hip drop tackles.
Hip drop tackles. They're now a felony charge. You try to tackle somebody that's bigger than you. You try to get around them and just bring them down from the hip. You're catching the flag. Before I go to this next thing, that's got the most attention in social media circles. Mm-hmm. How do you tackle a guy now? Derrick Henry turns that corner and you're a 5'11 DB. What are you doing?
Hoping he's wearing a flag and you can pull it. Me and Foster talked about this earlier in the year because they were talking about it. And we were saying that they're probably going to implement this hip drop tackle rule.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason being, it's because if the defender grabs around the hips and then he lifts his feet up and swings them forward, he's dropping, there's that sudden drop of weight, and some of these guys are falling on the legs of the ball carrier, and it's causing injuries. Well, yes, it is. That's undisputed. They got the numbers to show that. It does that. Now, the question is, how do you fix that? How do you tackle properly if you can't do that, right? Because we've already got, you can't tackle, can't, you know, hit him with your head, you can't hit him up, you know, all the different rules. You can't, you know, crack back block. There's all sorts of rules for player safety. How are they going to adjust to not doing that? And that's the question. Now, as a former coach, not obviously not at the NFL level, I would teach my guys to go through the ball carrier. That's the simplest way. Just tackle through him. And that's good technique anyways. But if you're behind, it's going to have to be a leg sweep type deal.
Yeah.
That's the only way it's going to work. The hard
part is tackling from behind, running to catch someone.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to go for that leg sweep.
They're going to have to go for the legs, wrap up the legs.
Mm-hmm. And then they still may fall on the legs and cause injuries, but it's not the sudden drop in weight where they drop the hips. And I don't expect to see too much of it called. I expect to see more of it in fines when the NFL tries to figure out what is what. And you know it's going to take a season for them to do that. And you know at the beginning of the season, they're going to call it like crazy until they chill out.
They're going to call it on Lions for sure.
There's nothing wrong with calling it on the Lions.
Fourth quarter with the game on the line. Yeah.
Hey, you know, when you got Man Campbell as your coach, I mean, you're going to be aggressive, right? You're going to go for kneecaps. Mm-hmm. You're going to go for ankles. You're going to end up with a little bit more flags than most, right?
There's not a penalty for biting kneecaps there, sir.
Correct. Hey,
ask TJ Hockenson.
Listen, man, all this is antithetical to how you learn how to tackle from Pop Warner all the way up to the pros. Mm-hmm. You know, none of these, you know, humongous athletic guys, none of them want to hit anybody from behind. No diddy. They want to go ahead and they want to go ahead and hit the way they've always been taught to hit people. They want to go, you know, right to the midsection. And if you can't hit them that much or affecting because they're about bigger than you, you go, you know, you try to wrap them up on their lower body. Now you can't do that. I don't know, man. 5 years from now, it's going to be we might be playing with flags, as one of our commenters said in the comments. It's going to be two-hand touch before you know it.
But, you know, and part of this is to give the offense more advantage because people love seeing scoring football, and the NFL wants to promote that. They've always been against the defense that way.
That's true. That's true. You definitely don't get a lot of rules that help the defense. It's how many more points can you score? How many more fantasy points can we give our fans? How many more parlays can we cash out for our loyal customers? Oh, Jontay Porter. No, don't do that. Don't do that. All right, man. So let's take a quick break right here before you get into the more team-specific content of the shows. If you're listening on audio, you know what to do. We're gonna have our advertisers gonna talk to you for a second. Get them, show them some love, because they show us love. We will appreciate if you show them something right back. If you're watching live, just stick right here. We ain't going nowhere. We'll be right back in a few seconds. Welcome back. So, after we've discussed the league rule changes, the hip drop tackle, that's now gone. The more fun thing that they've changed, kickoff rules. Now, I looked at it, and it looks just like it, I'm going to call it what it is. They stole another thing from the XFL. That's all it is, right? And I think the XFL had it right from the beginning, as they've had some things right. But to me, the first thing that came to my mind is that Devin Hester, Chicago Bears Hall of Famer, will remain the greatest kickoff returner for all eternity. Because no one, with these changes to the kickoff, no one's going to ever come close to even scratching his legend. June, how did those changes arrive with you?
That's what I was going to ask you. I'm not up on the change. What exactly are the changes?
So what they've done so far, you have to meet. In fact, I'm going to read it right off the Athletic so I don't misstate anything.
Okay.
The ball has to be returned if it's kicked into the landing zone. The landing zone is the opposing 15 yards, right? If it's kicked, if the ball is still to be returned, if it rolls into the end zone or kicked into the end zone through the air, if the ball is kicked into the landing zone and it rolls into the end zone and gets down by the kickoff team, it will be placed at the 20-yard line. If the ball is kicked through the air to the end zone and gets down, it will be replaced at the 30-yard line. So that's a few of the bullet points. So they're forcing you to return it if it lands anywhere short of the end zone, pretty much.
Okay.
The landing zone goes between the goal line and the 20-yard line. And the idea is that the ball lands there. And so the returner can return it. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't land there, that's when it's not penalties, but that's when if it's kicked through the end zone, or if it goes out the end zone, the ball starts at the 35. If it doesn't reach the landing zone, i.e. it falls on the 22nd and stops, then it goes out to the 40. If the ball hits the landing zone, but rolls into the end zone, and they do not bring it out. It starts at the 20. But if it lands in that landing zone, it must be returned. Yeah. That's the big deal. Now, where the offense and defense line up is different. The kicker is going to be back there on the 35 where he normally is, on the X. That's where the ball starts. Mm-hmm. The kicking team, the other 10 guys, are lined up on the receiving team's 40-yard line. They're already on the other side of the 50.
Can't move.
Right. And more than 5 yards deeper is the receiving team's front line. There's usually 9 of them. They're there. Those two lines of players can't move, like Foster just said, until the kickoff returner catches the ball. So they're waiting. So there isn't the whole massive rush, you know, the whole time. And what this helped in the XFL is they had zero concussions, whereas in the NFL, the old style, that's where a lot of the concussions came from because everybody's running at each other at full speed. And so what they hope this does is get the special teams coordinators all sorts of jazzed up on planning plays. It's more, it's basically a run play.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody starts spread out, and then they're going to fall back into a blocking scheme, and they have however they want to do it. It's going to be interesting to see. Pay said, it started out in the XFL. Well, this weekend starts the UFL. I believe that's the new name of the merged league.
Yeah, UFL.
And you're going to be able to watch it because it's the exact same one. It's going to be interesting. It brings back the kick returner, right? Because you're not going to see kickers just blasting it through the end zone again. So for us, that's Kene Nwangwu, right? He's now guaranteed to make the team. But you're also going to see more running backs, and he's a running back. You're going to see more wide receivers, and they'll usually put two guys in that landing zone that are going to try to return the ball. And it'll be more like almost like a punt, but without the gunners being right on top of you.
So. Are you gonna see more skill? Because I've already seen on Twitter where people are envisioning, like, well, as far as Lions fans, Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams, because it's now safer. Are you going to see more skill-type guys as opposed to your just fastest, you know, cheapest guy out there? Do you anticipate that as well?
I do, but you're also going to see a different composition of the special teams, because before, what were the kickoff and kick return teams? They're comprised of a bunch of linebackers and defensive backs and stuff like that.
Fourth string running backs.
Yeah, to specifically built for that. Well, now you're going to add some blocking into it. What does blocking bring to you? More linemen. You're going to see some of the bigger boys in there. And it's going to be interesting to see how all this develops. And yes, just like you said, Foster, you're going to see some of the skills guys get back there because it is safer. You know what? Hey, I love when JJ, as in Justin Jefferson, takes an end around, right, on a normal play. Well, what if he's doing it on a kick return? Oh, yeah, buddy. It's going to be fun. There's going to be chances that this is going to make this exciting, because before, somebody would score, right? If we were in Minnesota, somebody would score, and suddenly we start singing our Skol Viking song. That's great. You got about 12 minutes until you got to be back in your seat to watch the receiving team start their play, because with the commercials and everything else, all that's the case. Now you don't have that quick time. It's going to be you score, you sing, you celebrate, and suddenly the game's back on, because that returner can take that ball to the house and take it quick.
Hopefully not too quick. Devin Hester's still going to be the man.
Devin Hester is the man. There is him and the joystick down in Kansas City were the two best.
Dante Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dante Hall was he was electric. He was electric. I liked what you were saying there, Dave. You brought a Viking appeal to it. Speaking of the Vikings, a lot of the talk in the league meetings were between were about what the Vikings are going to do now that they got two first round draft picks. Big talks through the league meeting because everyone assumes that they're going to trade up, right? You know, that's the assumption widely held by not just fans but league officials and, you know, the talking heads on TV. The coaches of the D.C. Commanders and the New England Patriots shared at the league meetings that they will be listening to offers for the number two and third pick, respectively. So Dave, what's the appetite from Viking Nation to move up into the top three to draft? I guess a potentially franchise quarterback.
Well, you guys may be a little young. I think June remembers a TV show called The Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah.
It came on. It was a syndication when I rolled
it was. We're moving on up. I guarantee it we're moving on up. They already have a plan. There's Mark Wilf, one of our owners, was absolutely giddy when he was talking to Tom Pelissero about how the Vikings have a plan. They're excited. They're happy. Everybody's happy we got Sam Darnold, but we have a plan. And he was ear to ear grin. What I think is every team from number two through five has had either the GM or the owner say, yeah, we're open for business. Is the trade big enough? Now, they're not just talking to the Vikings. They're talking to Denver. They're talking to Las Vegas. They're talking, of course, to New York and the Giants as well. All QB needy teams that would love to go up there and take one of the remaining three of the big four. Since Chicago will have already drafted Caleb Williams by then. There is
Caleb Bear.
Yes. The question is, what is it going to take to get into one of those positions? I think I'm trying to remember which one it was. It may have been the New England's GM or owner talked about there's an established precedent for moving up. That's the three first rounders that San Francisco gave a few years ago
for Trey Lance.
For Trey Lance. So the cost seems to be three first rounders, depending on how far and whether you have to kick in more or kick in less is going to be interesting. Now, what the Vikings have the advantage of is they have two first rounders this year that's in the bank. Right? That is tangible for whatever team they're trading with that they can, hey, I can trade down, whether I'll get 11 and number 23. So I got two first rounders plus whatever a 2025 first rounder or whatever it is on top of that. Versus if they're going with like the Giants, yeah, you're not dropping as far. You're only going to six. But you're only getting one first rounder, and then you're getting two future first rounders, which are valued less than a first rounder this year. It's going to be interesting. Now, where it can come into play, we heard Sean Payton say, hey, don't count us out. They may want to trade up as well. Well, they only have the one first rounder, but they may be able to put in a player to add to that sweetener along with future first rounders. So how this is going to work out is going to be interesting. There's all sorts of reports, including from Paul Allen, who is the voice of the Minnesota Vikings. He's our broadcast announcer. And he has a show on KFAN, who is the Minnesota Vikings official radio station. he sort of let it out of the bag a couple of days ago that the Vikings look to already have some handshake agreements in place, whether it be with Arizona, whether it be New England, or whomever it is out of that 2-5 spot. One of them is supposedly San Diego. That would be at 5. Mm-hmm. So if Arizona took the hot shot wide receiver from Ohio State, he would, and Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy in particular is still there, Vikings are going to go suck it up, boom, in a heartbeat.
So you know that Drake May is going to New England no matter what. That's, I found that to be pretty
everybody's pretty assuming funny. That. Yes,
that's funny, but.
Kevin O'Connell, Drake May is probably his biggest dream.
Probably, you know, that's
they mirror each other. That's Drake May is who Kevin O'Connell wanted to be when he came out and was drafted by New England back in the day. He's that type of 6'4", he's got an arm, can throw, could occasionally run, and he had a good pro day too.
You said that 3 first round picks is pretty much the market, right? The going rate for this type of move up in a quarterback heavy draft.
From where we're at number 11, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, 2-part question. One, are Vikings fans okay with moving on from 3 first rounders and maybe some more assets, or
the majority
would they be more accepting of 2 first rounders and a player? A noteworthy player off the roster.
No, they'll probably give up. I'd go with the future draft picks.
Yeah,
they want their guy now. We don't have a noteworthy player that we're going to give up. Yeah, we're going to give up 100%. We are not giving up. I know you want Justin Jefferson, but no. Believe it or not, Kevin O'Connell said he's been in constant contact with him. They talk about the future quarterbacks and what they're looking at. He's part of the process. Kevin O'Connell says there's a few other players as well, and we have a players' leadership committee, which JJ is part of. But specifically, he's focusing on JJ, that JJ has input into who they target. And I think if you take the top 4, Caleb's going to the Bears. Bear down, and the other 3, I think they'd be happy with either one of them.
Okay.
But Justin Jefferson will be a Minnesota Vikings. And there was a report this week from Star Tribune, I believe, Minnesota paper. It's either that or the Pioneer Press. They had 2 papers in Minnesota. Charlie Waters, who I don't trust all the time, but sometimes he has some good stuff. He's an older guy, probably closing in on 70, I would guess. Reporter, been around for forever. And he says they've already got the 5-year deal, basically everything but signed with JJ. So we'll find out.
Okay. All right. We are going to keep our ears to the street on that as the news breaks for the Minnesota Vikings pre-draft happenings. Let's move on to Detroit. Biggest news out of the Motor City this week, since the last time we talked, was Cam Sutton getting arrested.
Mm-hmm. Well, not arrested.
Well, no, he hasn't surrendered yet. No. Okay. No. Well, which is
arrest warrant was issued. Now he hasn't been.
Yeah. He's got a warrant. Right. You're right. You're right. Okay. What I found interesting about this whole story, the team president, I think his name is Rod Wood. He said Sutton was in the building. He was at the team facility when the warrant actually came out. I think that was, I forget what day that was, but no one expected him there. He was pretty much just showed up out the blue, started working out. And then they went to talk to him and he said, and they was like, hey, you know, you got this situation going on. We just heard about it. You know, he said, then he just left abruptly and he hasn't been seen since, as you just say. And then it was like, I think it was like after like maybe an hour or so after that, they decided, hey, we're just going to cut him because I don't know what's going on, bro. But what's What's you know, these type of topics are obviously a lot of moving parts, obviously disgusting. So I'm going to see to you all. You all tell me what's being said locally on this whole situation.
A lot of different things. I mean, obviously, touchy situation when you start talking about domestic situations. He was already kind of on the outs as far as his performance on the field. Some people are questioning whether or not he's even alive, because he just hasn't been seen. But I the fact that he was present and somebody laid eyes on him, that is somewhat encouraging as far as that's concerned. But, you know, after June 1st, when I think we're off the hook past June 1st. So I think people are relieved in the fact that it won't financially affect us. So, you know, we're still, you know, from here, we're moving forward and trying to clean up that situation. I think that the fact that he's cut and we've cut our losses, there's some encouragement that we can now move forward and address that situation. And, you know, rumor has it that Kool-Aid McKinstry ran a 4.47 with a broken foot. So come on in, my boy, if it's, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things being said and being thrown around, but from what I understand, and Pay, maybe you heard the same sentiment. The Pittsburgh Steelers head coach reached out to him and did talk to him. So I believe, you know, he's okay physically. I think they even asked coach what was the conversation. He said, none of your business. So he's physically okay. I don't think there's much to worry about that. It's just more so where's his mental at. And I think the Lions cut ties, but they didn't say anything would happen. But that actually happened. What you said, Pay, as you talked about the story where they actually told him about the situation and he left. And so at that point, it's like, okay, what do you do? You know, as an organization, and they took a strong stance and say, hey, we're moving on. So
a lot of workplaces do that. If suddenly you stop showing up and you don't talk to them and they can't get a hold of you, that's grounds for termination.
Yeah. I mean, you have an agent, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you don't want to talk, at least your agent should be available to talk for you. You know, so
what he needs to do is lawyer up.
Yeah.
Which is what they told him to do is, yeah, get some representation.
Focus on the allegations.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of the allegations, I'm going to go ahead and read something that was put out on The Athletic. An arrest warrant for Sutton was issued after the cornerback was charged with domestic battery by strangulation, concerning an incident that allegedly occurred on March 7th in the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. That day, the sheriff's deputies responded to a call at 4:52 a.m. Eastern Time at a residence in Lutz, Florida, near Tampa, and a woman who had allegedly been battered. Sutton was no longer at the scene when they showed up. The sheriff's office went on to say that they've made numerous attempts to contact Sutton, calling him and attempting to reach him at his residence, but both of those attempts were unsuccessful. Police believe he is no longer in possession of his phone and have tried repeatedly to get in touch with him. Also, it goes to be said that Sutton's been involved in an ongoing paternity case initially filed August 4th of 2022 when he was still with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's according to the Hillsborough, Florida court records. So a lot to play out still on this case. I hope that he is, you know, still with us, you know, and, you know, he at some point, you know, goes, turns himself in, and they can start getting to the bottom of what happened, who's at fault, and we get to a resolution and we find a try to find some, I guess, peace in all of this. Hopefully. That was a downer. Now, let's bring it back up a little bit. So the draft's about a month away, man. How are you guys planning to attack this? How are you planning to, I guess, broadcast this to your individual programs and channels on YouTube and elsewhere? Guys in Detroit, I know, what do you all have planned up for that?
As far as the coverage or just...
Yeah, of course. You know, draft day is a big day in the podcast realm, man. I just want to know, how are you all going to attack this?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what Foster's doing, and he's really, really teasing the Lions fan base with his selection. So what he does is Foster has been doing player profiles on the 2024 NFL draft prospects. A lot of those people he's doing profiles on will not be there at 29. So he's giving all this wonderful information about the players and their abilities that we're not going to be able to see in a Lions uniform. He's not realistic at all.
At 29, but we don't know where we'll be.
Well, I mean, but that's what we're doing. And also we plan on doing a simulated draft where we're going to actually simulate the 7-round draft where me and Foster are actually picking the players as we go.
For 7 rounds?
Yeah, it won't take long because you can put it on fast and you just – it won't take long at all. I can send you a link how to do it. You can do it within minutes yourself. You know what I'm saying?
We've done something like that on the Steel Curtain Network before, and I was exhausted. Like, oh, wow, I couldn't imagine doing this on a smaller scale with my bear guys, but more power to you. This is going to come out the week of the draft or the before that?
It'll be closer to the draft right now because, like I said, there's still being moves being made. Like, for instance, this whole Cam Sutton thing, right? It could actually change, you know, your project, you know, how you're going to draft. Because prior to this, let's say the Lions still had Cam Sutton and none of this ever happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even think about drafting a corner in the first round? You probably don't. Not if Cam's your guy. You probably don't. You probably say, okay, we're either going to go rush in, defensive end, or give Goff a toy to play with. You can get a wide receiver at that and then go rush in. But now you might have to address that cornerback position because of what happened. And there's a lot of time between now and the draft. You know, who knows, man? You know,
it's 4 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, we got a couple weeks before we even do a simulated draft because we want to wait to closer to the time.
All right. Dave, how about you? What's going on at Vikings First and Skull as you all prepare for the draft?
Well, tonight, Tyler Fornes on the Real Forno Show, we're doing a mock draft where he picks every single team. And we're going to go through to look at where quarterbacks fall, where trades need to be made. We're going through scenarios where the first defender gets selected. Because everybody's thinking quarterback, wide receiver, quarterback, you know, sort of that sort of deal. Where's the first defender? Where do they start to fit in? You know, who goes in that first round? Who gets bumped? We're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be doing things like that all the way up into the draft, along with player profiles. And there's nothing wrong with player profiles. We've done a bunch that people go, why'd you do that, Dave? The Vikings don't want that guy, right? Or don't want that position as well. We're trying to get it. Yeah, our biggest ones have been quarterbacks or defenders, interior defensive linemen or edges. But you never know because the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears, they're going to have picks on days two. Well, Vikings won't have day two. But day three, and they're going to be filling out the rosters. And you're wondering, Well, who could go there? Now, do we get that deep in the player profiles? Not as deep as we are with the first rounders, but, you know, we touch on them. So that's what we're doing to gear up for the draft. And then when it comes to the draft, the networks I've been associated with all the way up until last year with Fans First, we've gone 3 days nonstop, wall-to-wall coverage. Well, that's not going to happen this year, unfortunately, because Tyler Fornes is going to be at Score North's draft party in downtown Minneapolis at Big Theater. They're doing that up. He's there. I'm hopping around between, I'm sure, in Chicago and Detroit, you've got your group of podcasters and YouTube shows that fans hop back and forth to. I'm going to be hopping on the Vikings versions of those back and forth and giving my commentary, since I'm sort of considered the godfather of Vikings video over in my world. We're going to be commenting on that. And then day two and day three, we're going wall to wall. Now, Vikings don't have a pick on day two. Well, they could either move up or not. That's when we start bringing in all the beat writers, because we're friends with all of them. And we start talking and doing interviews as the draft rolls down, and we comment on, hey, Chicago just picked a punter in the third round. Why did they do that? Please, and stuff like that. And so that's what's on plan for Vikings First and Skull.
It's going to be, you're going to tackle this thing from all angles. I love to hear that, Dave. Godfather of Viking video. Didn't know from this point it was Barzini all along. You know, I love it. I love to hear it. On the Bear Claw, we are going to do a mock, but it's going to be a lot. It's going to be more scaled down than my NFC North brothers are discussing. We only got four picks this draft. You know, only concerning ourselves with four picks. We're going to make this. It's going to be a Saturday morning sitcom. That's how long that little mock draft is going to be. We're going to go in.
You can always trade out of one.
No,
more.
We cannot trade out of that. We can. In any other year, we could always trade out of one. 2023, for example. Unfortunately, no one trades out of one 2 years in a row, and the Bears does not need to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for doing that. Not happening. So we will do a mock draft, but it will be a lot more scaled down, a lot more fast-paced. Who are the Bears going here at one, at nine? If you listen to our last episode that broadcast today, during the I think it hit 7 a.m. New York time this morning, we talked about what the Bears should do at nine, given different variables. If the Vikings trade up into the top five or the top four, and they give up, and they trade with the Arizona Cardinals, for example, what do the Cardinals get back? Do the Cardinals trade back into the top 10 and get that wide receiver that they missed after trading out of the top five? What do we do? If this player, if Verse, Bowers, Adunzi, both tackles, maybe even Neighbors, if those players are available, who do you take? And another big question that's been talked about in Bear Nation, do you even want to trade back from nine to get more assets? Because we, as I said, we only got four picks. So good stuff coming up all the way. In fact, we're going to have a live show the day of the draft, first day, day one of the draft. And we'll give you our rapid reactions. It's me, Q, and Tiff, rapid reactions of the first 10 picks, what the Bears did. If they trade back and maybe gave me an aneurysm, you'll see it all live at the Bear Claw on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere. Gentlemen, I know you all talked about your draft day plans. I'm assuming you all are available on YouTube and elsewhere. If not, let everybody know where else they can find you.
Minnesota can be found at Vikings First and Skull across all platforms, YouTube, your podcast aggregators, and Fans First Sports Network. Now, to the King of the North, where can they be found?
Not you for that. Not you for that. I was waiting on somebody from Green Bay somewhere else to say something. You can check us out at Motor City Metrics, Bleachers to Speakers channel as well on YouTube. Subscribe to Bleachers to Speakers on YouTube. Of course, that's our new channel. We'll be moving over there full-fledged at the beginning of the football season. Right now, we're trying to build it. You can also catch us on all podcast streaming platforms, Bleachers to Speakers, FFSN in the search. Follow us, download the episodes, check us out. We drop a lot of content during the week, riding to work, cleaning the house. There's plenty of content on there for you to listen to and enjoy.
Can't wait.
And Pay, I know you're linked up with multiple things besides the Bear Claw podcast. Where can they find you?
On YouTube, the channel is called Frustrated Chicago Sports Fans. But everywhere else, that's TikTok, anywhere you get your podcasts, Facebook, all the same name, the Bear Claw Pod. Check us out all there. Just like June said, we drop in stuff all throughout the week. If it's not an actual episode, we're dropping some information, clips, memes, fan polls, stuff like that, all to keep you engaged about the Bears and what they're doing now. It's a great time. As I said, the YouTube channel, Frustrated Chicago Sports Fans, we've got obviously the Bear Claws on there. You got the Chi City Bulletin Board following the Chicago Bulls and the new White Sox show, which is titled "What Did the White Sox Just Do?" Very funny. You want to check that out too, because the White Sox are going to do a lot of things this season, except win. You want to hear our takes on this.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs. Gentlemen, I'm out. I have nothing else to say. If you all have anything, how you want to dismount?
Hey, opening day baseball starts tomorrow, and I know on our Detroit network, they talk about baseball.
Go Javi.
Go.
Toilet flush.
Skull Vikings.
And bear down.
Thank you for listening to this NFC North group effort on the Fans First Sports Network. This has been a Da Bear Claw podcast. Bleachers to Speakers. Vikings First and Skull. And of course, the Fans First Sports Network production. Thank you for listening.